You're listening to Owen Blogger's Viewpoints, broadcasting from the Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt University.
So, how was your night?
Pretty uneventful.
Where'd you guys go?
Downtown. We had a really good dinner. Actually, no, it wasn't too good. It was a good dinner, but not good food. You know, the difference between a good dinner and good food is kind of, you can have a good dinner while not having good food. But usually, good food is related to a good dinner.
Where'd you eat?
Mafiosos. But I actually just ate the leftover, and they're now better than they were last night. So maybe that's the trick.
Yes. So what you've got some topics for today, right?
My topic is today, Matthew County. No, just kidding. My topic of today is, how much TV can you really watch while being a productive GPA 4.0 MBA student?
That's assuming that it's possible to be a 4.0 student.
I really would like to know if there are any people with a 4.0 GPA. And this leads to the second topic. I think we should talk about relevance of grades at Owen.
Okay. It wasn't on the menu, but I think that's an excellent topic. So let's see if we can't start off on the first one and then end on the last one. So what was your point on the TV? We were talking earlier this week with some first years, and I don't think they asked this question, but they were kind of like, they were asking about the workload as it related to the first couple weeks of school and whether or not they would actually have free time. To which you said,
I said, as long as you have enough time to watch every episode of The Hills Monday night at 9,
oh, God,
your workload is not heavy enough.
Yeah, and we should point out that Astrid's a huge fan of The Hills, and
and all other reality TV shows there are.
And whereas I believe that reality TV shows manifest everything that's wrong with current pop culture, so... But that's a discussion for another episode. So yeah, what do you think is the amount of time that they're really going to be able to spend? Because I mean, I know for a fact that in terms of what I usually watch during the week, I will watch the news and I'll watch maybe a couple random episodes of Law and Order, but that's really about it. The rest of the shows that I watch are usually either DVR'd or I get them through iTunes.
Yeah, can I say that Jared spent 12 hours this weekend watching a whole season of Dexter off his computer?
Okay, it was morbid curiosity, I have to admit, but you know what? It's to your point. You really don't have that much time to watch TV during the school year, so like I want to get the two seasons of Dexter that I've apparently missed knocked out. And you know, it's a really great show, though. Seriously.
They should pay you for this.
They really should. I'd say that if I had to answer that question of how much TV you can watch in a given given week, I'd say that it's very, very minimal because you're gonna be pretty busy
I think the first mod for first years.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's just rough. I mean, it's like you have to get back into shape for school. All of us have worked, or 95% probably worked before they came here. You have to be on top of the readings. And no, you do not have to read every word, but you should read as much as you can to be really able to have a good discussion. Because this is another question that always comes up. How much do I really have to read if professors assign me 80 pages a day? Skim reading is the secret. You got to know what's important for your class and for your own learning experience. That's the answer. But I got to say, to come back to TV... I watched a ridiculous amount of TV during all months. I always find time to watch TV, and even if I rather not sleep than miss my series,
now,
my shows.
Is it all reality TV, or is it? Do you
I watch Grey's Anatomy, or I love Lipstick Jungle, or Sex and the City reruns. I can watch Sex and the City reruns every day if necessary. It's just like I watch some news, too, I guess, but it's just like. You got to figure out what you can do or what you can't do, and for whatever reason, I could watch a lot.
Now, if I told you can only watch one series during right now, like in terms of like if I had to limit you to an hour of television a week, and you had to get
an hour,
just and you got to watch exactly one show, what would it be?
But the good thing is that at the moment we're on summer breaks with all the shows, so they don't start till September. So at the moment it was a really easy question. I would watch The Hills. It's 30 minutes, though. And the other 30 minutes, I would probably watch something about the election campaign, I guess. Or, like, or CNN, like, something about world news or BBC. I think I feel a lot of times, because I don't like to read. Yes, I said it. I don't like to read. I really am not the biggest newspaper or any other type of news reader. I think it's necessary that you read something, that you read something, that you watch at least some news that give you a global perspective.
But you know what? I would say that even though that I'm kind of like the big, I'm probably one of the bigger geeks in school, or at least within our class, and I will admit that as well. As you admitted that you don't like reading, I will admit that I am a huge geek, and I can almost hear the chuckling going on at the CMC right now. As much as I like love the RSS readers, where they pretty much deliver the news that you want to you, and you just kind of like comb through the news feeds and read what you want, I still think there's nothing like flipping through the Wall Street Journal in the morning, just kind of grabbing a cup of coffee, relaxing in the Owen lobby before class, checking up on what's going on in the world, reading some interesting article about how some iBanker got arrested, and hearing our illustrious classmates still pine after those wonderful iBanking jobs.
It's a good job if you like it. I mean, nice. I think it's a great job to go for. I think Owen will prepare you well for it. I think it's a great thing that we get the Wall Street Journal for free, for free as part of our tuition. But at the same time, like I said, I don't have time in the morning. Like, I work out or I do something, I don't have time to read this huge, space-occupying newspaper. I'd rather read it online, I guess.
That's a good point. And that's actually, you know what, that's something we've been saying for a while. Like, give us the option of having either the print or the online version, because I would love to read the online version.
And it's environmentally much more friendly.
That is right. As a member of the Net Impact Board, I would have to admit that is an incredible opportunity, and I think something that we should look into. Perhaps.
Agreed.
Anyway, but that brings the iBanker thing is actually a nice segue into your second topic, which is iBanks are one of the only recruiters that come on campus that really do look at your GPA.
That's not correct.
Well, no, it's I know that consulting does, and then iBanking does.
I think most of the companies actually skim through. When they look at your resume and you have a 2.8 GPA, I think it's hard. You might want to have...
But that's if you put your GPA on your resume. Keep in mind that the Owen resume guidelines pretty much say that unless you have like a 3.5 or above, you probably want to keep your GPA off of it. Maybe it's because I just didn't do that phenomenally well. I mean, I did well on the GMAT, and I do okay with GPA. I just don't think that that gives a truly representative a picture of how someone works.
And I agree. I totally agree with this. But at the same time, I just worked in human capital consulting, and they recommend a lot of recruiting strategies and how to sort through 800,000 applications. And I'm sorry to say it, but a lot of the application processes are now standardized in computer systems. Mm-hmm. What are they going to select you by? The first thing is, or the easiest thing to code probably, is really GPA. Okay, is there a number that's between 3 and 4? And if not, you're out.
Now, the question is, as someone who's worked in the human capital space, has there been any long-term studies that correlate GPA or GMAT scores with long-term productivity or profitability or success?
I bet there have. I don't know.
Well, and that's
maybe you can Google it, Jared.
Well, we'll have to Google it for next time around, or if any of the illustrious professors or administrators of Owen that listen to this show have an insight into this, I would love to see it, because I think that's really fascinating, because that is a really interesting question. Like, what are grades really for? Obviously, we kind of transitioned last year over to, instead of an ABC system, to a high pass, low pass, superior pass. It was that system. And the whole idea, at least the way that Steve Heffler would explain it to you, is that it's supposed to neutralize the whole idea of going and just going to school for grades. What do you think about that?
I don't think it changed anything.
Really?
Because to me personally, whether I get an A or a superior pass, I don't care what label you put on this grade. In Germany, it would be a 1.0. That's the highest you can get. While a 4.0 is the lowest before you fail. So if you tell me it's a 1.0 or you tell me it's an SP or you tell me it's an A, it does not make any difference. I think it would have truly made a difference if it was just pass fail and there was no grade attached, which I know that some other schools have, and I am not going to say that this is more successful or less successful. I just don't think that I'm the right person to talk about it because I just don't care what label you put on my grade.
You just care about the GPA ultimately.
It depends. I mean, I was going into consulting, but for us, it was a big deal. But I had a lot of discussions last week during orientation with people, international students and domestic students, who were concerned about not having a 720 GMAT and not having a 4.0 GPA, or they were concerned about, I don't know how to cope with the workload while trying to get a 3.4. And all I had to say was, yeah, you need a high GMAT to get into the interviews, but after that, nobody cares.
I mean, I think that's it. There's two sides to that. I think number one, there is the side that okay, you need to have the ability to have to show off the fact that you have command of the subject through quantitative means, whether it be through GPA or by GMAT. But there's also the networking component of it. I think that there are some people who have gotten interviews with lower GPAs and lower GMATs. But, I mean, granted, that's just kind of the first round. It's exactly what you mentioned. It's a qualifier for the interviews.
I think there is a lot of things going on, kind of, okay, what kind of resumes am I actually looking at closer? If you put yourself in the shoes of an HR representative at a big firm, and they really have 200 people on their desk, 200 resumes lying there. How are you going to sort through that? You don't have the time. Maybe you only have an hour to sort through it and then send out the invites for the interviews. And you're just like, okay, let's take this as a selection criteria. Let's take a 600 GMAT. Everything below that is kind of not qualifying or something like that. But at the same time, I feel like when you write a good cover letter, this often gets you your foot into the door. So a good cover letter might compensate for it because this will raise your interest and their interest. And at the same time, I feel like in marketing, for example, where it's really about being creative, it's not so much about being able to crunch numbers, although it's becoming much more apparent now with like survey analysis and data, I don't know how you call it, data sampling or something. Jared can tell you in a second. Hold on. Jared can tell you in a second what I mean, but they will probably judge you much more by how creative your cover letter was or how creative your experiences or...
First and foremost, what you're thinking of is marketing modeling, which is one of the phenomenal things that I really think Owen is starting to really come into its own with. I think that my favorite class so far has been marketing models with Don Akabuchi, who's just absolutely phenomenal. And she's someone who I emailed at least three times over the summer to ask her opinion on things. But I really do think that there is that certain aspect to interviewing, or at least getting the attention of recruiters. And that definitely is through your cover letter or just simply having brand names on your resume. Because I might be completely wrong with this, and I'm sitting down with John Hamilton this next week, and I want to see if he agrees with this. But I really do think that getting in the door is just a matter of networking, like at least in marketing. Like, I've gotten interviews by kind of putting myself out there, doing informational interviews, and kind of getting my name as into the head of the recruiter as they're flipping through the stack of resumes. But then what happens is they go through the interviewing process, and it's not the person who interviewed you that's necessarily making that final decision. They're looking at your resume, and they're looking at the recommendation of the interviewer. And then really what it comes down to is, do they recognize the names on your resume? Do they recognize the brands of the company?
And in wrapping up, I just want to reiterate that you should not be too concerned about not having a 750 GMAT or a 4.0 GPA.
Yeah.
It's about how you can sell yourself and that you know where your strengths and your weaknesses are, and that you can leverage this and really show that to the company you want to work for, why you're an asset to that company. Mm-hmm. And I think that all CMC admissions, administration, all professors will second us on that, that this is what will get you in your fantastic internship or in your full-time position.
And you also just listed off the people who can help you with that, especially the CMC and the professors and even the second years, finding someone who has kind of like tried to apply or gotten the interview, as well as looking at the interview books. I know, we're cutting it off. She's giving me the little cutoff signal. She's so wonderful about kind of, you know, keeping me on track. So, Astrid, any closing thoughts for today?
I think I said it all.
Absolutely.
We're going to have some fun more topics to come next week.
Absolutely. And start sending us some of your questions. We're going to be starting an interview series in the next couple of weeks. So I think that's going to be it for me. Have a wonderful week. And to all of the first years, good luck with Eric Peterson.
Have a good Sunday.
And as...
Oh, and as Heidi Klum would say, I always forget it. Auf Wiedersehen.
Thanks for listening to this production of Owen Bloggers Viewpoints. For more great content from the web's leading NBA bloggers, visit www.owenbloggers.com.